Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Kisese, the number of mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs we have in the Parsha says, Hakim Takim Imo. So the mitzvah of Tina, somebody has his animal and it needs to be loaded up. So there's a mitzvah to help him load it up. However, there's a pidrash, they say, on Hakim Takim Imo. Hakim Takim means Lakim, to help up, right? And with him. I learned things, Chazal learned now different things, but what's the idea of Imo? Just Hakim Takim. What do you mean Imo? So one idea of Pidrasha is that when a person helps somebody else, it's not only is he helping that other person, but he's with him. He's helping really himself at the same time. So he's with the other guy. You're helping him. Lamaisa, he's really helping you. How so? We'll see that it's when a person has mitzvahs, very often he thinks, oh, you know, I'm helping this guy, mitzvahs orchim or chesed or whatever, and I'm giving it myself, and I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm doing something for him. But the truth of the matter is that's not the case. In the end, it works that hakim takim imo, that he's also benefiting himself. The person doing it is benefiting as well. An interesting Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Dalet, the Gemara darshans out there the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. And it's, what's the drasha? Aleph Beis stands for Aleph Bina. Aleph means to learn, and Bina is understanding, or it refers to the Torah. Okay, so it starts off, a person learns Torah, then Gimel Dalet, Gemara says, stands for Gomel Dalim, that you give to the poor. Okay, now what happened? The person's given to the poor. So again, look, I've given to the poor. I've given this poor person something. What do I get out of it? Nothing, says the drasha continuation. No, that's not the case. But hey vav, that stands for Hashem. What does Hashem do? Zayin ches tes yud kaf lamed. What is zayin ches tes yud kaf lamed? That if a person is gomel dalim, then hey vav, Hashem is Zayin zanotcha, he feeds you, v'ches is chen, he v'chanotcha, he gives you chen, tes is umeitiv lacha, he does good for you, and yud, v'noten lacha yerusha, that's the yud, and kosher lacha, he ties on for you, kaf lamed, kaf is keser, and lamed is la'olam v'hava. So here we have all these tremendous, tremendous brachos the person gives to the ani, but he himself gets back. He gets some from Mr. Farnesim, he gives him chain, he gives him good, he gives him a Yerusha, he gives him a Ketzer Olam Haba. It's tremendous, tremendous things in return. Thinking also, that's the motif of Elul, throughout, right? The Rem is in Elul, Anila Dodi, the Dodi Li. Same idea, Anila Dodi. You think, oh, I'm for my beloved, I'm for Hashem, right? I do all these things for Hashem, it's all for him. What do I get out of it? Nothing, not the case. Anila Dodi, but it works reciprocally. And what? V'dodi li, right? I don't only give, Hashem gives me in return. It's a very interesting story I saw in Leinu L'Shaveach. There was once a chayal who was in Hebron. And he was doing, he was outside walking the streets in Hebron, you know, doing, I guess, he was guard duty. And after it happened, he was alone in a certain alley, and an Arab appeared out of nowhere, and he shot him at close range and took off. The Chayal, of course, fell to the floor, bleeding, losing a tremendous amount of blood, and he didn't have consciousness, and it was mamash pikuach nefesh. It was very doubtful he was going to live. Besides the fact it was very early morning, nobody around. And if something didn't get immediate attention, that would be it. As it happened, though, there was another chayal who heard the shot, and he ran over, and he saw his fellow soldier there lying on the ground, bleeding profusely. So he quickly uses his first aid skills and tries to, you know, patch him up a little bit so he doesn't bleed so much. Of course, he radios in for help, that, you know, it's an ambulance or whatever. And sure enough, the help came, and they took him to ambulance. But this chayal that helped, he didn't you know, didn't end there. He wanted to make sure the boy was okay right through. So he requested if he could go along with him, to be there with him and for him as he's going, when he goes to the hospital. And then he said, okay, and he went with him. And he got to the hospital. He made sure, you know, all the paperwork, that took care of everything. And until he got to his room, whatever, he was with him the whole time. And he was just waiting until his parents would come, the boy's parents would come, and then he could, you know, leave the take the caretaking to his parents, to the boy's parents. So sure enough, he heard that the parents had just come into the building, and being a big Anna, very humble individual, he didn't want to, you know, take credit for anything. He just disappeared with that before even the parents showed up. So they didn't have to know that, you know, what he did. And that's it, he left. So in the meantime, the parents came, and they had heard about this great chayal that saved his son's life. As the doctor said, that if this chayal had not done immediate first aid when he did, that would have been it. This boy wouldn't have survived. So the parents are so grateful, and accordingly, they really wanted to, you know, thank this soldier, whoever he was, for saving their son's life. But nobody knew who it was. And they asked, searched here, there, whatever. Nobody knew who this boy was. And so, okay, they couldn't find out. So these people, they had the parents of this boy, they had like a little grocery store in Kiryat Malachi. And they after this whole incident happened, so they posted a big poster on the front of their store, and it described briefly the incident, how their son was miraculously saved and everything, and they wrote on the bottom, and if anybody happens to have any information about who the boy was that saved their son's life, you know, they'd be very appreciative of the, you know, for the, appreciate the information. So the sign was hanging there for a long, long time. Still nobody, people read it, whatever, but no, they didn't, they never found out who this boy was, at least for a long time. And it was about a year and a half later, all of a sudden a lady walks in. A lady is from, lives in Beersheba, and she happened to be in the area in Kiryat Malachi, and she goes into the store. So she buys a few things, and she's about to leave, and as she's leaving, she noticed then the poster, and started to read it, starts reading the story about this chayal was saved. So she runs back into the store, and she goes up to the woman, the owner, and she starts crying. And she says, what's wrong? She says, it's my son! My son saved your son. It was him. She goes, are you sure? So she goes, yes, I'm positive. I remember, it was about a year and a half ago, and my son came home one day and told me about his experience in the army that day and how he saved his chayal's life and went with him to the hospital, exactly as you describe it. It has to be, and it was the same in Hebron. It must have been my son. So I said, I don't believe it. It's unbelievable. We finally found who the boy is. You know, can you contact your son? We'd love to meet him and, you know, thank him in person, or, you know. So they said, sure, they called up, they got in touch with the boy, said, can you come? And they said, yeah, fine. So the boy comes over the door, and it's, of course, a meeting, and it's very emotional, you know, that this is the boy saved their son's life, and they, you know, of course, thanked him, and et cetera, the whole thing. Anyways, after the meeting, so they were about to leave, and this woman from Beersheba, you know, whose son had saved the other boy's life, She says to the owner, the store owner, the woman, she says, mind if I have a couple of words with you privately? So she says, yeah, sure. They go into the back room. He says, I don't know if you recognize me, you know, because you probably, you know, just mean seen me today, you think, for the first time, right? She says, yeah, you didn't look familiar. He says, well, I want to let you know something, that I might not look familiar to you, but you're very familiar to me. She says, what do you mean? She says, 20 years ago was the last time I happened to be in this store, and I was in the area, and I had to get a couple of things, so I came over here into your store 20 years ago, and as at the time, I was pregnant, and you're very nice people, your husband, so I was schmoozing with you a little about this, about that, you know, and I mentioned about my pregnancy and how I was very, very upset. I was having a very difficult pregnancy. And I had told you, just as a side, that I planned on getting an abortion because I was so unhappy with my pregnancy and the whole thing. I'd already planned to get an abortion. And when you and your husband heard this, you were shocked. And you tried so hard to convince me not to have an abortion. and you're telling me how it's nice to have children, how it's a bracha, and this, and you went on and on and on and on, and you talked so much from your heart until you convinced me. You convinced me that I shouldn't have to go through with the abortion. And I didn't. And she says, you want to know something? This was 20 years ago. And I didn't have the abortion, and I gave birth, and you know who I gave birth to? This boy who saved your son's life. This was a chayal, 20 years later, was to save your son's life. So that's what we saw in the limud over here, that the person did, when they, you know, they thought they're doing this tremendous chesed for this girl, you know, and stopping her from having an abortion. They probably didn't think of it anything more than that. You know, we're doing it for you, you know, it's a bracha for you, you'll be good, don't get an abortion, it's an avera for you, whatever, for you. What are they getting out of it? They didn't think they're getting anything out of it. But Lamaisa, Kosh Baruch Hu, right, because of what they did, to save their own son's life 20 years later. However,
sort of takes the schar away from it.
No, the schar, it's still, that's part of the schar. Also part of the schar. So so it's true, though, that Kosh Baruch Hu pays back, you give, Hashem gives in return, Anila Dodiva Dodili. However, it's not so simple. In other words, the Kosh Baruch Hu has to see how much you're giving. You do a little bit, okay, so Hashem's going to give you a little bit, right? If only Kosh Baruch Hu sees that you're being Moser Nefesh, you're giving a lot, so then he'll return in great amounts as well. Where do we see this? There's another story of a woman that she was in the hospital in Tel HaShomer, right here, and she was in very, very, very bad condition. She had some disease. The doctors couldn't figure out what it was. They said that she had like atrophy, although she couldn't move any of her limbs, her arms, her legs, or couldn't move them, just lying there in bed. And for months, doctors checked everything, couldn't find out what was wrong, no idea. And they pretty much given up hope. Anyways, one day, she's a total non-religious woman, and she had visitors or children, whatever, was also non-religious, and they're sitting around schmoozing one day with her, and a lady walks in, totally unfamiliar, walks into the hospital, a frum-looking woman. She walks in, and she asks one of the nurses, can you point me to the person in this ward who is in the most critical condition? So they pointed to this woman, said, you know, she's... you know, pretty much had it, and there's no, doesn't look any cure, and they can't move, and this, and she's in very rough shape. So she said, thank you. So she goes over to her, and nobody knows who she is, and she says, hello, you know, they're looking at her, strange woman, and she says, tell me something, I understand you're not well. Says, tell me, do you want to get better? So the sick woman looks up at her and says, I want to get better. Of course, I want to get better, right? It's the wish of every sick person to want to get better. What's the shy? So she says, no, do you really want to get better? She says, of course I want to get better. So she asks her, tell me something. He says, do you smoke on Shabbos? So she says, yeah, I smoke. So I smoke, on Shabbos also. So she says, are you willing, in order to get better, are you willing to stop smoking on Shabbos? So she thinks and she says, yeah, I'm willing to not smoke on Shabbos. So their kids were standing around listening to this, and they said, Ema, what are you listening to this woman? She's a nutcase, you know. They said, don't know what she is. I'm smoking. What are you, what's that? So she said, no. Fine. I'm willing to do it. So she didn't stop there. She said another thing. You want to get better, tell me, are you willing to cover your hair? You know, cover your hair, you know. Are you willing to cover your hair? If I give you a head covering, will you cover your hair from now on? So the kids are saying, this kid, excuse me, lady, don't bother my mother, she's not well, get away, this, nah, what do you do, what do you cover your hair, smoking, that, this, let my mother be, yeah. So the sick woman said, no. Let her be, yes. You know what? Yes. If it's to get better, I'll cover my hair. No problem. So then the ima, don't bother with her. What are you doing? Is he stama mishigana? She says, no. I'm willing to cover my hair. So she goes, wonderful. So she takes out a tichel and she gives it to the woman and she puts it on and she wishes her a nice bracha and says, in this chus that you're not going to smoke, and this chus that you're going to cover your hair, Shem should, you know, send you a fushlema, a karov, and now here's a nice heartfelt bracha. And that's it. Turns around and leaves, and that's the end of that. So again, the kids were like, afterward, Ema, what are you doing there? She goes, no, a Kabbalah, Kabbalah, I'm doing it. I'm leaving my head covering on. I'm not going to smoke this Shabbos. So fine, okay. And then the kids left, whatever. A little while later, a couple hours later, all of a sudden, there's a scream on the ward, and the doctor's here. It's coming from this woman's room. So she's been screaming every, for a few months already here and there, but all of a sudden a loud scream, and somebody like got shocked. Something was, decided this is maybe it, you know. So the doctors run into the room, and they said, what's wrong? So she says, I feel something in my arm, my left arm. I haven't felt things in my limbs in months. All of a sudden I have a feeling in my left arm. I says, are you sure? And she says, yeah, and then she starts moving her fingers a little bit, and she starts moving her arm a little bit, and then sure enough, a few minutes later, she's moving her left arm. So they said, miracle, this is unbelievable. Anyway, so they're excited. That's it, they leave the room. A while later, again a scream. They run back in, it was a what now? She goes, my right arm. I get stuck. I'm getting feeling in my right arm, my fingers, and this. So this is unbelievable. They leave the room. A few minutes later, another scream. They're like, what now? My left leg. I can move my leg. Finally, my leg. I can move my leg. And then a little while later, my other leg. And the doctor said, maybe you want to try like putting your feet on the ground. And she was scared, started crying. Said, I forgot what it's like to walk. So I put my feet on the ground. And they said, here, try. And then I helped her up. And she was taking her first steps after months. Anyway, this was on a Tuesday. On Friday, they let her out for Shabbos, to see what it's like to go home, just give it a try on Shabbos. She was at home for Shabbos. She came back on Sunday, and by next Tuesday, it was a week later after the whole thing, they gave her a complete shikura, a discharge from the hospital, and she was like new again. Right. So this idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave her, but it was after tremendous Kabbalah, right? It's very difficult, a total non-religious person to agree not to smoke on Shabbos, agree to put on a hair cover, which is very difficult for women who never cover their hair and hear their kids mocking her, etc. But if a person gives a really, really strong Kabbalah, so that's Kadosh Baruch Hu answers in very strong ways. So therefore, that's our lesson. We have to remind. We think every time we do things, we do chesed, we do mitzvahs, it's for others. But lamaisa, in the end, it's really for us. And however, it's often for us, but depends on our efforts, right? How much efforts we put in. We put in a lot of efforts, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're doing all this with, giving so much of yourself, and you're gomel dalim, then I'll reciprocate with the Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Zanocha, Chanocha, Meitivacha, and give you Yerusha, and Keter of Lolam Haba. That's all when I see it comes from you, and you put in the effort. It's about the Shem, we should be Zoicha to these Madregas, Zoicha to be Mosen Eben Chodesh Baruch Hu, and in turn, see all the brachas that come from the Olive base, and the eventually ultimate bracha of Bias, Mashiach Tzimkenu, Bimhera Bimim.